Chapter 51. There had been no need to tape their eyes open. Stacy, Mancuso, and Weatherhill had watched the viewing screen in horrified fascination just before the picture went black during Pitt's fight with the robo-dog. Then sadness and shock flooded their emotions as Commatore fiendishly aimed another camera at the blood-drenched ground. The four of them sat chained to metal chairs grouped in a small semicircle around a huge high-resolution video screen set into the wall. The two robots, Giordino called Magoon and McGurk, stood guard with the latest in Japanese automatic rifles aimed at the back of their prisoners' heads. The unexpected defeat of their plans and total helplessness had stunned them worse than the virtual sentence of death. 100 plans to salvage their predicament rushed through their minds. None had the slightest hope of getting off the ground. They were conscious now of little but approaching death. Stacy turned and looked across at Giordino to see how he was taking the crushing blow of his friend's loss. But his face was completely composed and thoughtful, with no trace of sorrow or rage. Giordino sat there in icy calm, his eyes curiously staring at the action on the screen as if it was an adventure serial at a Saturday matinee. A short time later, Commatore entered the room, sat down cross-legged on a mat, and poured a cup of sake. "I trust you watched the results of the hunt," he said between sips. "Mr. Pitt did not play by the rules. He attacked the robot, altered its programming, and died through his own stupidity." "He would have died by your hand anyway," spat Mancuso. "At least he cheated you of that piece of butchery." Commatore's lips curled downward briefly and then up in a sinister smile. "I assure you there will be no repeat of your friend's performance. A new robo-dog is presently being reprogrammed so that any unexpected damage to his system will not result in an attack on his quarry."
"That's a break," grunted Giordino.
"You scumbag," hissed Mancuso, red-faced and straining against his chains. "I've seen the brutalities men like you did to Allied prisoners of war. You delight in the torture of others, but can't stand the thought of suffering yourself." Commatore observed Mancuso with the same expression of haughty distaste he might have displayed at observing a rat baring its teeth from a sewer.
"You shall be the last I run to ground, Mr. Mancuso. You will suffer it watching the agony of the others until your turn."
"I volunteer to be next," said Weatherhill calmly. His mind skipped over escape schemes and began concentrating on one act. He figured if he did nothing else, killing Commatore would be worth dying for. Commatore slowly shook his head.
"Miss Stacy Fox has that honor.
A professional female operative will make an interesting challenge. Far better than Dirk Pitt, I hope. He was a shocking disappointment." For the first time, Weatherhill felt a trace of nausea run through him. He had never been afraid of death. Half his life had been spent on the brink between living or being killed. But sitting helplessly while a woman was brutally murdered, a woman he knew and respected, made him sick. Stacy's face was pale as Commatore rose to his feet and ordered the robotic guards to release her chains, but she glared at him with icy contempt. The locks were opened by an electronic signal, and she was roughly pulled to her feet, free of the chair. Commatore pointed toward the door that opened to the outside of the room. "Go," he commanded in a sharp voice. "I will begin the pursuit in 1 hour." Stacy took what she thought was her last look at the others. Mancuso seemed stricken, while Weatherhill stared back at her with great sorrow in his eyes. But it was Giordino who caused her to do a double take. He gave her a wink, a nod, and a smile.
"You're wasting time," Commatore said coldly.
"No need to dash off," came a voice from behind the two robotic guards. Stacy turned, certain her eyes were deceiving her. Dirk Pitt stood on the threshold, leaning negligently against the door frame, gazing past her at Commatore. Both his hands rested on the hilt of a long saber whose tip stabbed the polished floor. His deep green eyes were set. An anticipatory grin was on his rugged face. "Sorry I'm late, but I had to take a dog to obedience school."